the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 27th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That is our great solution, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. I said that, but I'll say it again. Why? Because as you hear the broadcast unfold today, you'll say, yeah, it's worth repeating, Sam, because people need to know where you really stand. Welcome to the broadcast. By the way, one of the greatest peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips is to use the checks and balances the founding fathers gave us. Absolutely brilliant. And one of the great peaceful solutions we do have available to us. By the way, our website, libertyroundtable.com, second website, lovingliberty.net. Both of those sites have live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. Spread the word, donate liberally, please. And welcome to the broadcast. A quick recap of yesterday's show. It was a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time weekend. And we had our guest on, no, not Lowell Nelson. He was taking a family personal break. But we had our good buddy Chris Carlson jump into the broadcast with us. And Chris created and distributed an educational flyer about the COVID-19 hoax for his neighborhood. Yeah, he really passed it out among all of his clients in the business that he works at. He works for himself, so he's allowed to do that without getting fired, don't you know? Anyway, he was able to pass that out and spread the word, saying, you know what, folks, this is a sham. It's not even a vaccine. He went through the litany of details on it. I guess he says like a 15, 16 page. It's more than a flyer. But anyway, good for Chris setting the example to really understand that it's not about violence. It's about education. And whether you do it through the spoken word as I do or flyers as Chris Carlson's doing, the key is for us all to learn and to understand how we can make a difference, how we can participate in the solutions. What does God inspire us to do to defend the sacred cause of liberty? And that really is the key. Anyway, so we commend Chris, but we talked about Chris defending the God-given sacred gift of agency. You know, do we have agency? You heard of the red diaper doper baby stuff, right? What about the cocoa diaper face-covered population, huh? Yeah, that's kind of the problem. All right, it turns out that Kamala Harris is now in charge of the White House. Yeah, I guess a leaked memo via email was leaked. It's a directive. Please be sure to reference the current administration as the Biden-Harris administration, it said. It's an official public communication. It was bolded and highlighted in a way that said, hey, this is a departure from the norm. You know, it used to be the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Carter, whatever, right? Now it's the Biden-Harris administration. And many are saying they're setting the stage for, what do you want to say it? For Kamala Harris to kind of be the de facto president, or maybe the official president. Right now, she's the de facto. The debate rages about what this all means. Is it just kind of a broadening the scope and giving a woman more authority or more recognition? Or is this really about some transfer of power, of responsibilities? The real problem, ladies and gentlemen, is if Joe Biden is transferring power to Kamala, does he have authority to do that? You know what? Well, you can debate whether he was elected to be president in the first place, right? I submit to you the election's fraudulent. That's an opinion to which I'm entitled. I know all kinds of companies are being sued. Dominion just sued Fox. So everybody and their dog getting sued, they say it'll it'll give new rails and guidelines. You know, it's like in a bowling alley, how you have those little rails for children or whatever you call those things, right? It'll put new rails on the media to make sure they don't speak out of turn. See, that's the problem today, is government thinks they have control of free speech. They think that they're the police thought Nazis about what you can say, what you can believe, what you can think. Because, hey, they define what truth is. You don't. Nobody else does. They say, hey, what you're saying is a lie, and then they can sue you for libel and slander. And, you know, that's the problem. Where do you go with all that? Who decides truth and lies? How do you, right? It's a big battle. Anyway, the point is, if Joe Biden is transferring any power to Kamala Harris, any authority, giving her any presidential responsibilities, the people elected Joe Biden, that's if you could even accept the current or the past, most recent, I should say, election. But aside from that, now Joe might be transferring power to somebody without a true following of the guidelines set forth in the Constitution, the supreme law of our land. See, that is a serious, serious problem indeed. And sadly, it's even a serious allegation to make. Now, I'm not making the allegations. I'm just telling you, when you see leaked memo directives like this that are official, you can say, well, how do you know it's official? You know what? Most news services have this headline. So, you know, maybe the, do I dare say the Biden-Harris administration? Maybe Joe Biden needs to speak out boldly, nobly, clearly, independently about what's happening and what's not happening. And maybe Joe owes it to the American people to speak out boldly about where his health really is. Is he able to lead this nation? Does he have the cognitive skills to truly carry out his duties, to administer to his duties as the president of the United States of America? And if not, shouldn't the people be aware of and told that? Would it be a crime to hide that from the American people? If Joe Biden is not cognitively capable of leading this nation, of making the decisions necessary, et cetera, et cetera, is that a criminal offense? Who would be involved? Would it rise to the level of treason? These are fair, honest, open questions. And some would say, no, Sam, that's just because you hate Joe and you're on the conservative side of the spectrum. And you know what? All those are lies. Okay, it's a fair question to ask anybody if they're cognitively capable of leading this nation. And as you know, even an elderly person, if they sign something or, you know, do something relating to their financial well-being or to their health, giving, you know, some type of health directives and everything else, and we find out that they're not competent to make those decisions, many times those transactions are unwound or reversed. Well, imagine being responsible for the decisions regarding a nation. Imagine swearing an oath. Yeah, taking an oath to administer those duties, but not being able to perform them. If those around you are pulling the strings or making those decisions in ways that may be contrary to what you would do, is that a serious problem? I say that it is. This is a national security question, ladies and gentlemen. But not only now are they saying that Kamala Harris is being in charge of more and more and more things, you can say, well, maybe that directive isn't valid, Sam. Maybe you misinterpret the directive, Sam. Maybe. Fine. But when Biden blatantly, openly responds to the border crisis by saying, let Harris handle it. What? This adds fuel to that fire, to say the least, right? Is that significant fuel to that fire? Now, agents, by the way, that's Border Patrol agents, released 2,000 illegal aliens into the United States population without a coronavirus test. Yeah. Without even telling them to appear in court. I kid you not, this is true. WND.com with the details on this one. Right? This is a problem. That's what's going on. So not only is Joe Biden saying let Harris handle it, but agents release 2,000 illegals and not even directing them to go to court. You're just free to go. So let me get this right. If I decide to walk around outside in Hawaii, they'll arrest me for not having a mask on. But illegals can just cross our border and you're free to go. Biden turning that responsibility over to Kamala. Does he have authority to do that? See, I think that's where we start to run into serious, serious national security problems. Biden admin calls on SCOTUS or the Supreme Court to let police enter homes and confiscate guns without even a warrant, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business, folks. I'm telling you right now. This idea is insane. And when you swear an oath to the supreme law of the land, you swear an oath not only to the Constitution of the United States of America, but the Bill of Rights as well, that you will uphold them from enemies, foreign and domestic. And if your administration is literally calling on the courts to give you authority to literally go into people's homes to breach the sanctity of a home, right? Enter homes, confiscate guns without warrants. You're literally becoming the great domestic enemy yourself. In fact, Utah Senator Mike Lee goes as far as to say this about it. Gun control has racist roots and suppresses minorities. He's right as rain about that, folks. He's completely right. All right, we also talked about violent tornadoes raking Alabama. Nearby states bracing for impact. Authorities rush to aid Alabama residents as violent long-track tornadoes savage the state. What a sad tale to tell. Wow. Anyway, our prayers are with the folks in Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. We must turn to our God for protection if we wanted to heal our land. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting talk straight ahead on your favorite talk station.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I am Sam Bushman, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, award-winning headlines and more from Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated by LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, donate liberally and more. LovingLiberty.net. Check out our iPhone and Android phone apps for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Wow, we got a lot to cover. So we had on second hour Dr. Scott Bradley with me. His whole life's mission as an adult has been to preserve the nation. Wow. He's got a collegiate series about that, a homeschool curriculum. It's a book. Homeschool work books, etc. So it's a book, a series of workbooks. It's lectures on DVD, stand-up and deliver, collegiate-style lectures and more. It's all available, ladies and gentlemen, at freedomsrisingsun.com, as well as his well over 1,000 videos library all relating to constitutional concepts, constitutional topics, to help you understand how to preserve the nation, how to protect the country, how to get in the minds and the hearts and the thoughts and the beliefs and the understandings of the founding fathers so that you can carry forward their legacy and restore the republic peacefully, nobly, independently. FreedomsRisingSun.com is where you go for that. So the good Dr. Scott Bradley was with me, and we talked about the fact that Joe Biden literally, and I questioned his competency. I told you why, the directive that was leaked. That's one reason. The second reason is he blatantly said, let's turn over the border to Kamala. The third reason, though, is that Joe Biden brings cheat sheets outlining key policy points to the press conference. Oh, yeah, they say the press conference for Joe Biden got mixed reviews. They also say that, hey, it's been the longest any president has taken to hold a press conference. The press conference was very, very limited in scope and discussion points. He called on favorite reporters and gave them follow-up questions, but the rest of us simply got lampooned and just taken out of the mix or the discussion. But then Joe Biden literally has to refer to cheat sheets outlining key policy points to the press conference. This is insane. If Donald Trump had done that, just think of the backlash that he would be getting. But, of course, no one is saying anything about this. It's like it's no big deal. But if you literally have to have prompts on the primary focus of your administration, that's very concerning, to say the least. If you have to have prompts to understand that rioting in different places of the country, that the Capitol was breached to remind you of these things, that's a scary scenario for the commander-in-chief to be in, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about the fact that Biden is a national security threat and can simply not be trusted. Okay? You could say, well, Sam, wait a minute now. This guy's been a public servant for like 40-plus years. He's been a senator. He's been, you know, this guy, the scrappy politician from Scranton, Ohio. This guy's a good guy, Sam. He's been around for a long time. And yeah, but we're not saying he's an evil person. We're just simply saying his mental faculties aren't there. When you have to bring cheat sheets to a press conference as the president of the United States to keep up on fundamental basics, key policy points kind of stuff to a press conference, then you kind of go, what? When you start literally turning over huge chunks of your responsibilities to Kamala, you know, most vice presidents sit in the background and do supportive tasks and roles. Joe Biden now kind of taking the supportive role and putting Kamala out there as the key decision maker. That's problematic, to say the least. You put that all together and I say Biden is a national security threat, not because he's evil himself, but because he's not handling these key policy issues. He's not dealing with them in effective ways. All right, that is the quintessential issue here, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now Kamala Harris, believe it or not, and this is why Biden can't be trusted, he's turning over authority to a lady. There's many allegations that she slept her way to the top. You can say, well, that's unsubstantiated. No, I don't think so. Willie from San Francisco, that's the man that she was involved with that gave her the political start, blatantly suggests that that's the case, and he was the one that was with her. He was the politician that kind of traded favors for, you know, there you go, right? And so it goes south from there. But this girl, in addition to her compromised situation, from a moral point of view, she's got even greater compromising concerns, in my opinion, which are these. Kamala Harris has close ties with Marxist, socialists, and communists. Kamala Harris has deep communist connections, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a simple matter to be ignored. These are serious, serious concerns. We've got a commander-in-chief that can't really cognitively handle it. You've got a second-in-command that literally has flat-out ties, strong ties and connections to Marxists, socialists, and communists. They're coming for your guns. They're letting the border leak like a sieve where illegals are coming across thousands at a time. I bring it up and say it's a national security concern, and they say, oh, Sam, you must be a white supremacist. I'm going, have you lost your mind? But that's the narrative that we have today in America, right? So we talked about money. Myself and Dr. Scott Bradley, you know, Dr. Bradley said, Sam, what would you ask at a national press conference if you could talk to the president and ask him a question? I said, I'd ask a couple of questions about national security. I would also ask about honest money, okay? It costs 38 paper dollars for one silver eagle silver dollar. The United States has minted on the silver eagle silver dollar, 2021, mind you, that it says a dollar on the front of it. We also have paper dollars that say they're a dollar on the front of it, and I'd like the president to tell me which dollar is the real one and which one's the fake news dollar, right? And then I asked the president to get rid of the other one. Get rid of the fake news dollar. Just keep the good one, the real one. Which would that be, Joe? All right. Anyway, we had a great conversation with not only Chris Carlson, but with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on yesterday's broadcast. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. If you missed it, it is available at libertyroundtable.com. It is available at lovingliberty.net. You can download the iPhone and or the Android app and listen not only live but on demand. You can also follow the Twitter feed for Loving Liberty on there. You can't follow the Liberty Roundtable live Twitter feed because Twitter kicked us off. Yeah, we reported that, you know what? There is a credible group of physicians and scientific professionals that have done a bunch of research in Israel, and they say more elderly people are dying from the vaccines than they are from the COVID itself. Well, they put together a study. It was reported on in LifeSite News and other places. I managed to find the headline and bring it up and talk about it. And then I tweeted out the headline to that study. Lo and behold, Twitter shuts me down saying that I'm not allowed to peddle unsubstantiated against what? Credible facts? News. And my response is, who's in charge of the credible facts? I didn't tell you this is a fact. I'm telling you there's a research study out of Israel with credible physicians and people who are scientists and people who are in the know. I'm merely telling you about that study. But of course, it upends the official government-backed narrative, right? And therefore, I'm not allowed to do that. They said, Sam, we love you. We know you can get caught up in scandals. And if you want to recant, if you want to capitulate, if you want to take down the reference to that, we'll be glad to put you on Twitter. But I'm refusing to take it down because here's the question. Do I have a right to report on the news out there in the world? Just because Twitter doesn't like the narrative or doesn't like the conclusions of these science leaders and these medical professionals, because it upends the official narrative. It doesn't jive with the, we're going to sell you vaccines and they're safe and effective and everybody's taking them and you should too. And we go on and on and around and around. What if we find out a year later or 2 years later that I was right on the news and Twitter and the official narrative was wrong, right? Well, that won't matter, Sam. We just shut you down anyway, buddy. See, that's the problem. So I won't take it down because I submit that I have the right to report on it. Now, I've been honestly thinking about suing, literally suing Twitter over this. The problem is, I don't know if I have the money, right? It's going to take a lot of money to sue these people. You got to have enough to see it through, and I can't get enough donations to make that happen, and I can't handle it all myself. All right, quick pause. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
with Mike Fortier.
A new record set for COVID vaccinations in the U.S. The number of vaccine doses administered Friday, almost 3.5 million. The White House says that's the most ever in a single day. Still, the U.S. is averaging at least 50,000 cases and 1,000 deaths a day. That is CDC Director Rochelle Walensky worried.
We have seen cases and hospital admissions move from historic declines to stagnations to increases. And we know from prior surges that if we don't control things now, there is a real potential for the epidemic curve to soar again.
Meanwhile, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona is saying this week he wants all schools to be open for in-person learning this fall. But he says on The View Friday that won't necessarily mean the end of remote learning.
We need to really think about how we're going to reimagine what school looks like in the future. Why can't remote opportunities be a part of this process?
Cardona also says being vaccinated won't be mandatory to re-enter the classroom. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The man who sold the gun used in the Colorado shooting, shocked and heartbroken. John Mark Eagleton owns the store where Ahmad Lisa bought a Ruger AR-556 less than a week before allegedly killing 10 people in a Boulder grocery store. Eagleton says the 21-year-old Lisa passed a background check and the Colorado Bureau of Investigations approved the sale. Meanwhile, investigators continue searching for a motive into Monday's shooting. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Daugherty making a pledge Friday.
To the victims, families, and to this community, I promise you that we work tirelessly to make sure that the right thing happens in that case. That is my firm and solemn commitment. And everyone in this building, everyone connected to this investigation, shares that determination and focus.
Elisa charged with 10 counts of murder, more charges pending. Daugherty says the trial will likely take at least a year. Two people killed in a shooting in Virginia happening Friday night in Virginia Beach. Some of the injured dealing with life-threatening injuries. The suspect shot and killed by Virginia Beach police. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Sam Bushman, and I'm breaking down. So they shut me down on Twitter over the Coco reporting. You better report what they want you to, or else, you know what? They're going to shut you down and say you're a purveyor of fake news. You're a peddler of things that are against the administration's standards. And you know what? They are the fact. What do they call this thing? The Ministry of Facts, if you will. It's a serious problem indeed. Let me report on something else that I don't think they'll let me to report on. I've got several things here that are really interesting highlights for you. So there's a guy. He's with the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Okay, this guy's a professor there. All right, so do you think the professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine is credible? His name is Dr. Marty Makary. And he blasted public health officials, what for, you ask? For their dire predictions on the spread of coronavirus 19. He said that the continued hype about how awful it is and how bad it is and may have caused a loss of credibility with the public. All right, so you got this Johns Hopkins School of Medicine professor, Dr. Marty Makary, saying, you know what, you've got a credibility crisis, folks. Fox News anchor Charles Payne brought back Makary on the World segment after playing clips from Center for Disease Control, or CDC, Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky, warning of another, quote, potential surge of the COCO. Also, then they brought on Senior White House Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, pointing to Europe as another evidence of another significant wave could happen in the United States. Continuing to hype, Coco, how bad it is when everybody should just run around. Don't look now, but behind you is the coronavirus kind of an idea. And everybody in panic and fear. And, well, are they peddling the porn of fear? Yes, they are. But he asks the question, this doctor, he says this. Is there a danger in losing credibility when the medical establishment, you know, makes these claims, makes these sort of warnings to us over and over? Payne asked. It seems like they're walking a really tight rope here. You know what? You can only cry wolf so many times. And the reality is we're very different from Europe. All right. So he said, I don't think it's honest for public officials to keep hyping this narrative. And some people are saying maybe it's the money sloshing around that's really encouraging people to not be honest with the narrative. Okay. What happens when you have a scary prediction from government public officials that turns out not to be true? Remember how the influenza was going to combine with viruses and become kind of the Frankenstein of illness? Well, it never turned out. Didn't happen. We didn't even have flu that year. They claimed it was a surge on top of a surge that never surged. Okay? The problem is they have a credibility crisis, and this doctor's pointing it out. Now, we know the coronavirus has killed a lot of Americans, and we're not saying that's okay. But we are saying, when do you have a credibility problem on your hands, right? That's really the question that we're discussing at this point. That really is the issue that matters, right? Now, I reported this one guy to you, this Mac whatever guy, this doctor from Johns Hopkins University. Is he allowed to say that, or is that speculation? Is that peddling fake news that's outside of the scope of allowable, reportable topics with the viewpoint or slant in question, right? Well, it gets worse or better depending on who you ask. Now, former CDC director, guy's name is Robert Redfield, okay? He said, forget the narrative that the COVID-19 just naturally was, you know, came out of a wet whatever animal, whatever you want to call it, right? He said, no, the coronavirus came from a Wuhan, China lab. And it started months earlier than we all knew. Now, let me just stop you there for a second, and I don't mean to go into an I told you so mode, but I've been telling people right from the start of this coronavirus that, you know what, it did start months before we knew, and everybody laughed at me and went, no, Sam, how do you know that? You don't even know, and can't be true. Well, now you got Robert Redfield, former CDC, former Center for Disease Control and Prevention, saying the same thing that I said. Okay, I don't know if it came from a Wuhan lab or not, because I believe the United States might have been involved in it. It might have came from our labs. Who knows, you know, exactly where it came from. But the fact is it came from a lab. And the fact is this CDC director, Robert Redfield, former CDC director, saying, hey, same thing. COVID-19 came from a lab and it started months earlier than we were told. He says, I'm a virologist. I have spent my lifetime in virology, and I'm telling you this. Anyway, Art Moore, WND.com with the piece. Now, are they allowed to report that stuff? Am I allowed to report on their reporting of that stuff? All right, there you have it. Anyway, I don't know how to even respond to some of these things, because I'm giving you news that's credible. I'm giving you sources that all kind of support each other. This idea that, you know what, they're hyping it too much. Well, they've got a real credible Johns Hopkins University professor saying the very same thing on Fox News. Okay? I've got this Robert Redfield, another doctor, saying the same thing that I've been saying. He literally reports this on CNN. I've told you about Dr. Corey, who believes that, hey, we're overhyping this thing, but a lot of people are dying not because they have to, but because we're not willing to look in the right places. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. And he says you got to go to ivermectin for the solution. Well, Dr. Corey, even though he tested before the Senate, very credible testimony, Congress critters alleged that he was political, and that's all it is. But the good Dr. Corey said, I'm not political. I've never been political. This has nothing to do with politics. This has nothing to do with Trump or Biden or anything. It has to do with, I am begging you people to look at these solutions because they are the answers. And then he proceeds to document in his practice and with his medical team. There's not just him. There's a bunch of them. They're all saying the same thing. There are inexpensive answers. There are simple answers to beat and or significantly reduce the death rate and the hospitalization rates from the COVID, from the coronavirus. And you look at that and you go, how come that's all being suppressed? Why, when I speak out about more people are dying from the vaccine in Israel in the elderly populations than from the COVID itself, why, when this former CDC director, Mr. Robert Redfield, why can't we get the news out about what these people are saying? Oh, are they all just challenging the official narrative? Every one of them has a credibility crisis? Or at some point, do you say there's enough of us speaking out now? There's enough of us asking the right questions. There's enough people who are experts in their fields who are speaking out to say, you know what? The official narrative is not to be trusted. You got the WHO saying, hey, this just came out of what do they call that thing? It's like a wet meat market kind of a thing or whatever. Hey, it just spontaneously came out of that there, jumped from animals to humans, by golly. And we're supposed to believe that narrative when they have no evidence for that narrative? Yeah, that's the problem. And then we say, well, it came out of a lab. And then they say, you're crazy. You don't have credentials. And then I come back and say, well, Dr. Robert Redford has credentials. He's not crazy. He says COVID-19 came from a Wuhan lab. And started months earlier than we knew. Well, wow, that's what I've been saying this whole time in all the supposed credible mainstream news. What have they been doing? They've been lying to you for well over a year. They've been telling you that my narrative is false and fake and bogus. Now it's me and Robert Redfield speaking out. It's me and the folks in Israel that have credibility speaking out. And then I get shut down on Twitter. And the only way that I can come back on Twitter is if I apologize. And I support the official narrative of the government. There's one problem. They're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not. Let me say that again. They're lying to you, and I'm telling you the truth. Now, we're told the truth shall make you free, and I pray that's true. Right now, though, the problem is the truth just gets you banned from Twitter. The truth just might get you sued, huh? If you don't believe me, just ask Fox. Over election fraud. Yeah, you got the, what do they call those? The voting machine makers? Literally suing everybody to get them to shut up about vote fraud now. Hang tight. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Oh man, time flies when you're having fun, huh, ladies and gentlemen? This is hour one, last segment of, man, I'm not even getting to the news fast enough. What do I need to do, talk faster? Maybe I just ought to not repeat myself, right? If I don't repeat myself, though, then you might miss key things. That's why on the radio we repeat a lot. It's not that we're dumb and we don't know we already said it. It's that we want you to make sure you got it. We want to make sure that when you're driving down the road and you're kind of, your attention span done turned off, right? We want to make sure you kind of come back and go, what? Wait, what did he just say? And then if I don't repeat anything, then you don't know, right? It's that kind of stuff. So John Hopkins School of Medicine professor, Dr. Marty Makary, blasted the mainstream, the physicians, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, everybody for hyping this idea of how horrible, dire predictions, if you will, on the spread of coronavirus. He's saying, you know what? When you cry wolf so many times, you get a credibility crisis. That's a serious concern. So he blasted them on that. And then former CDC director Robert Redfield basically says, hey, man, the COVID virus came from a lab, folks. Don't lie. It came from the Wuhan lab. And you know what? It's been around months earlier than we thought it was. Yeah. I'm a virologist. I've spent my whole life with this. I should know. And if he was the only one speaking out, I might not give him the credibility. I might say, well, this guy ran off the rails on this one. But look, he's surrounded by all kinds of other people. Why are they hyping this more than they should? That'd be a good question for the John Hopkins professor. Why are they lying about where the virus came from? I would ask Robert Redfield and others. All right, switching to a few other topics here, though. I don't know if you know this, but Twitter said that it will not remove Melania Trump's naked pictures, which were posted by Cardi B, the rap chick, during her Twitter feud with Candace Owens. So this is a very strange deal. So you got Melania Trump, the president's wife. Well, the former president's wife, I should say. And I guess, you know, she used to be a model, and there's some naked pictures of her. And I guess those pictures got put online by Cardi B. And the reason they got put online from Cardi B is because Cardi B has created this song. I won't even go into the details. It's so, in my opinion, perverted that you don't even really want me to go into it. But basically, it, you know, has sexual terms about the female body, and it goes into all kinds of things that we ought be not be talking about on the radio, right? Anyway, so then Cardi B, when her song was promoted, then Candace Owens, well-known talk show host, well-known conservative female, spoke out and said, you know what, this is bad news. This is what's wrong with women. This is, you know, wow, we got to stop this. Then Cardi B then shot back at Candace Owens. Well, in the middle of this battle between Cardi and Candace, Melania pops up. I know it's very strange, but Melania popped up and naked pictures went up. And so then people said, wait a minute, hold on. These naked pictures are violating your policies, Twitter. And Twitter said, oh, no, because Melania gave permission for those photos to be published or whatever, gave permission. It's okay. We'll leave those photos up. So now let me get this straight. You got a battle between Cardi B and Candace Owens. You got the former first lady in the middle of it with naked photos. And that's all okay on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. For those two to feud back and forth, for Cardi B to attack Candace Owens, for naked pictures of the first lady to be in the middle of that whole thing. Of course, they're not going to remove that from Twitter, by golly. But Sam Bushman telling you that, hey, more people are dying in Israel from the vaccines than they are the coronavirus. And I'm not saying that's a fact. I'm saying there's a study by credible physicians and scientists that's claiming that. And I happen to report that news. I get shut down from Twitter. But the feud porn folks are fine. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what you're seeing today. Now, Candace Owens says, quote, I am 100% suing Cardi. I'm 100% suing Cardi. So there you have it. The battle goes on. Lawsuits everywhere. Naked pictures everywhere. But the shutting down of legitimate news from people like me happening everywhere as well. And sadly, the American people are just kind of wringing their hands going, ah, it's too bad. I don't like it when that's happening. I think it's horrible. But nobody willing to take any action. Nobody willing to do much about it. Nobody really speaking out very boldly against it, except for a few people like me, right? Country's going to heck in a handbasket, and everybody's just like, nah, yeah, it's really bad out there. It's horrible. And then, you know, I say we shouldn't be wearing masks, and people say, I agree. But then if I try to go into a place and not wear my mask, people are like, you're causing a scene. Would you just stop? Would you just, you're embarrassing. Would you just, and so then I'm the bad guy, right? All the mask mandators without evidence, they're the good guys. I'm the bad guy. Well, not really, Sam. It's just that it's awkward. I see. So we're just going to sell our liberty down the river because it's awkward. Who made it awkward? Oh, the people that want to steal your liberty. Then I speak up and say something. It's like, man, Sam, you're just, oh, boy. How do you deal with that, folks? Well, we got to go back to, you know, checking out Melania Trump's naked pictures on the internet and watching the fight between Candace and Cardi, and that'll be okay, right? That's not awkward. I'm the awkward one for not wanting to wear a mask in a store. See how awkward that gets? Sam Bushman, the king of awkward. There you go. It's just crazy. But anyway, Candace Owens will sue Cardi. What? Over this thing called defamation. You ever heard of that? Yeah. So defamation lawsuits are going on everywhere. It's amazing, folks. You've got the vote fraud machine manufacturers now suing. Everybody saying, hey, there's defamation. You've got, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Well, anyway, I pray for Candace Owens. I think she's a great moral leader, doing a good job. But in my opinion, to wallow in the swamp with Cardi B is a, you know, probably a waste of your time there, Candace Owens. And, you know, your likelihood of a lawsuit being successful is slim. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't stand up for what you believe in. And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't use your First Amendment rights to try to obtain some kind of a redress of grievance. You certainly have the right to a redress if you feel that's warranted. But at the same time, I've seen people go down that road and, hey, am I going to win against Twitter? Not without any money, I'm not. What about Dennis Prager and crew? You know, they've been working on trying to not be abused and slandered and have libel committed against them and all these things for quite some time. And they're struggling with success, and they've spent literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get justice, trying to say, look, you cannot do this to us, right? All right, there you have it. Now, you know how they say, well, we got to be very careful on social media. We got to watch the social media people because, man, that's where all the, you know, preceding the crimes chatter takes place, right? That's where all the chatter takes place regarding crimes. We got to watch the social media like a hawk. Well, there's a couple things you ought to know about that, too, before the end of the hour. Parler, you know, the one they say is racist or whatever else, and it's the alternative right wing kind of a social media service. It's a little bit like Twitter, but way right wing and et cetera. Well, now it turns out that Parler claims they repeatedly warned the FBI about threats well ahead of January the 6th and the riot that took place. So now you got the Capitol scenario. You got the government telling the FBI and the government telling everybody, well, we didn't really know. That's the mainstream press narrative. We didn't realize it would be so bad. You know, but yet we have evidence that there were internal reports in the government that did warn over and over and over about problems. And now you have Parler, the social media service itself, saying, hey, we repeatedly warned the FBI about threats well ahead of the January 6th riots. So this narrative that they didn't know ahead of time and couldn't prepare, got caught flat-footed, not really realized, those are all lies, folks. And now those lies have been exposed. But see, if I tell you there's anything different than a bunch of Trump supporters went crazy, committed treason, and created an insurrection at the Capitol, if I say anything different from the narrative on that, the mainstream, then they're just going to shut me down and say you're involved in fake news. But Parler claiming they warned the FBI. Now, I would challenge the FBI. Release the evidence. Did they warn you? Do you have evidence of that? Hey, Parler, I would ask you the same thing. Why don't you prove to us you warned the FBI? Is there an FBI report on this? Is there documentation to this? I don't know, and I'm not saying it's true. What I'm saying to you is Parler's saying it's true. They claim they repeatedly warned the FBI. Now, the FBI needs to prove that it's not true, or Parler needs to prove that it is true. I don't care which way you want to go on this. Parler makes a claim. I intend to believe their claim, and I want the government to let us know, hey, is that true or not? And if it is true, I want to know where the breakdown occurred at the FBI level, right? But believe it or not, the Department of Homeland Security loves big tech. Parler maybe not being in the mix, but Parler playing the role nicely in this case. The DHS, Department of Homeland Security, has now, or is now, I should say, deploying big tech to spy on the American people via social media. Yeah, it looks like the feds are hiring contractors, compile lists of dissidents. Bob Unruh, WND.com, reporting this story. So now you've got literally Parler repeatedly reporting and warned the FBI, and now you got the Department of Homeland Security saying, hey, we're going to be hiring contractors to really do this for real. The government, they say, is doing this in a very careful way that is mindful of privacy and civil liberties because its focus is on the narrative, not on the people, they say. They say domestic violent extremism poses the most lethal, persistent terrorism threat to our homeland today. Now, I don't believe the government on that. I think it's a big old lie. I do believe there's an extremist threat, but here's what I believe. Remember the story that I reported a couple of weeks ago? The FBI and local law enforcement, all the way from the most local of levels, all the way up to the FBI, they knew Black Lives Matter were violent. They knew Antifa was violent. They knew that the Proud Boys, pretending they're the dissidents of those people, right? We knew they were violent. And then we find out, according to the New York Times, that the FBI and all these different organizations knew the violence, knew the hostility of the Proud Boys, but looked the other way over and over and over and over. And now we have the Capitol crisis on the heels of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is not to give more information to your government. The answer is not for Parler to go to the FBI and say, hey, there's concerns. The FBI already knows their concerns. All right, the Department of Homeland Security deploying big tech to get intel on what they call the domestic violent extremism. They've looked the other way and participated in it, folks. But they're using it to gain more control over all of us. And we sit back and do nothing. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I'm Sam Bushman, and I declare this nation shall endure. Get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? God save the Republic of the United States of America.